This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And you're listening to That's the Ticket. Today I'm pleased to be welcoming my first ever friend of the show and someone who has been somewhat of a frequent friend here on That's the Ticket. Have you guessed it yet?
It's me.
It is you, best bro of the show. I'm proud of that one, eh?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yvonne from Right On for the Art is back for a chat. And it is truly, truly wild to think that this is the first time I've had you in, like, this year in 2026, mate. Like, what?
Yeah, mate. It must be because you've actually finally found some decent guests. You don't have to rely on me.
I don't know. It's always good, though, because I feel like we always have heaps of stuff to talk about and immediately go off script and never hit what we're intending to chat about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've been busy with heaps of guests here at That's the Ticket. You've been extremely busy. Mm. I don't even know how you're going to answer this question, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. But, like, how has 2026 been going for you / Right On for the Arts? We're almost at the end.
Thank goodness. Roll on 27. It's been absolutely hectic.
Yeah.
Like, my birthday in May, I recorded a little video just going, ugh. Basically, I felt as I was about to have a nervous breakdown because I was working so much. I was finishing up study. I was doing a lot of reviewing. I was in the thick of it with Matilda. There were other things going on. And, yeah, the first 6 months of this year were completely hectic.
Okay. Have we learnt from this and have you chilled out for the second half?
No, we haven't learned and we never will, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Oh, okay.
No, things have slowed down now that I've finished study and, yeah, kind of reining everything back in, I guess.
I almost believe you.
Yeah.
Almost. But I guess congratulations on the study front. Am I allowed to be congratulatory about it?
Oh, yeah. I did kind of well, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But kind of well?
Yeah. I aced it. And, finished with a A-plus average, so I was pretty stoked about that.
Okay.
That's in creative writing.
Sure.
Which has kind of spurred me on to do a little bit more creative writing. And, things good.
Okay, man. And, like, on the reviewing front, Right On for the Arts, like, I feel like, have you had a weekend this year?
Yes, I have actually, but it's been funny, like just the way that the seasons have fallen across different theatres, it's been amazing how much clashes all the time, and so I might have two reviews to do in 1 week and then nothing for 2 weeks, and then I'm doing another two, four or threes or something.
Actually, I have noticed that because I think recently I saw you at Passion Fruits, and because the night before you'd been out reviewing something in Gaslight.
Yeah,
and
the Appleton Ladies Potato Race.
Yeah, and because other people saw you there and they're like, weren't you here last night? And you're like, no, I was reviewing someone else's opening night. So we got to, fit it all in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if you have a number, but do you know how many reviews you've done?
No. And I was just sitting here about 20 seconds ago going, oh, my goodness, I hope she doesn't ask me how many I've done. But
that's
I do know how many shows I've got booked in between now and the rest of the year.
Okay, hit me.
12.
Okay, that's quite a few.
Yeah, it's quite a few. And
sorry, I shouldn't groan. I'm supportive. We're all supportive. We're glad that you go and review shows. But I'm like,
they're not all reviews. Some of them are just I'm going to see them.
Okay.
For instance, going over to Tauranga to see Wicked.
Oh, yep, classic.
Just get my head in the game.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And going up to Auckland to see Cabaret because Joel is in it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You've seen him in a few things.
Yeah.
You always just seem to manage to find him.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And, are you going to Jesus Christ Superstar? That's coming up in Auckland.
No, I don't.
You're not a fan?
No.
Are you an Andrew Lloyd Webber fan? Surely.
Yes.
Just not that one.
Yeah, just not that one. It's a bit too kind of biblical for me, I guess.
Okay, does that mean you also hate Joseph?
No, I love Joseph. Joseph's one of my all-time favourite shows.
You have a big Joseph energy. I can just see it.
My first ever show was Joseph.
Oh, that's yeah. right. Yeah,
I was
yeah,
a
yeah.
slave girl.
Okay. Well, yeah. not much has changed, has it?
Still you're a slave.
Yeah, slave yeah. punishment, eh?
But I did write down everything I've got coming up.
Okay.
So aside from those other two, Annie at Southall.
Oh, yes.
And we've got SpongeBob at CST.
Yes.
Wally Pug of the Y at the Meteor.
Yep.
The Weird Sisters or Weird.
Oh, Weird Sisters.
Weird Sisters at Rivoli. The Herd at the Meteor. Cats at CST. 9 to 5 at the Meteor.
Sorry, Cats at CST?
Yeah, it's the National Youth Theatre Trust doing like a little junior production,
yes,
which
okay.
would be very sweet.
That's cute.
Yeah.
9 to 5.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that show?
I am a little bit. Yeah.
Because yeah. I saw it, I feel like it was a while ago because I was just on the media website and I'm like, oh my God, 9 to 5. Because I got real into it when I was at university. And then this week, especially, I got kind of back into it
yeah.
because of Dear Dolly.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I'm a sucker for it. OG Broadway cast had some, like, Megan Hilty, Alison Janney, like, some real goats in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolute legends. And I think this season will sell out as
yeah.
well. On the strength of what happened the other week.
Yeah.
What else have we got? The Love Nest at Gaslight, Disenchanted at Rivoli, and then the ballet is coming to BNZ Theatre, Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, yes. Yes. We got mum tickets for Mother's Day for that.
Oh, did
so
you?
So ages ago, yeah.
Yeah. I think I bought mine in like November of last year.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Okay, so you yeah. got in before we did.
Yeah.
You were more onto it than us. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's always great that we've got the ballet coming back because,
yeah.
you know, they find a way, but I think it'll be nice. It's been a long time since we've had the ballet in a theatre.
That's right.
And
yeah.
and it's great that, you know, when they would come through other venues in town and stuff, but you can't beat it.
No.
And I feel like it'll be, because I have memories, and I think a friend of the show, Dr. Missy Mooney, Kia ora Missy.
Kia ora Missy.
We were talking about Peter Pan the other day, and we both Missy had this core memory of watching the Peter Pan ballet at Founders, and specifically there was the bit when his shadow is separate from him
yeah.
and they had two dancers, like someone was just all in black being the shadow, and like we would have been very young, and she's like, yeah, it just always sticks with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that would have been magic as
yeah.
a child seeing that.
Oh no, great. Okay, so not much on for Yvonne.
No.
And then you already mentioned it, but you kind of just super low-key managed the marketing for Matilda for Hamilton Operatic Society's first show in the BNZ Theatre earlier this year. I also worked on that backstage crew. Slightly chiller job than you, I think.
Yeah.
Because I just rolled in, you know, a few weeks before, kind of learnt what I had to do, did it, and then I was done. Whereas you kind of were there for the long game part of it.
Yeah, for the long game. And then just to make everything a little bit more difficult, then I stepped in when Nicole became ASM
yeah.
into David's assistant role. So
again, sucker for punishment.
Lot. Yeah.
And because, like, when did you start working on that? Because obviously with marketing, it probably was it like last year that you
yeah.
started?
Yep. And then Oof. Really just started sort of gathering some ideas and then basically into it from February, sorting out the plan of attack and the entire campaign. And I'd never actually seen Matilda in real life. And like,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I never saw it up at the Civic and
yeah.
I was gutted. So we used the consortium set and props, as you know. And so Blenheim had it before us. So I raced down to Blenheim for 24 hours to see the show,
Great.
See the production, which was amazing, and it was really helpful. So when I stepped into the assistant role, I completely understood what David was trying to explain and was able to, like, verify some props and things like that. Like, it just made it so much easier from the note-taking point of view, and, well worth it. And that's a little bit why I'm going to see Wicked in Tauranga, is just to familiarise myself with the set and the costumes and get my head back in the game for next year.
Yeah, because Hamilton Operatic Society, if you haven't heard, announced that they're doing Wicked in 2027.
Yes.
And so have you signed on to do the marketing for that?
I don't think they've officially asked me, but I think
okay.
I might have unofficially told them how it's going to be.
Yeah, sweet. Okay, let's go through the marketing plan live on air. That's how we roll. But I guess, like, kudos to you. Oh, that's a bit of an undersell. Well done, mate. Mahi pai. Because
oh, thank you.
Like, obviously, it's a beastie show. It's a beastie season and new venue, new capacity.
Yeah.
And then you've got to try selling out. And you did a pretty good job.
Yeah. We, from the outset, made a decision not to sell the seats down the slip, which are the seats on the side.
Yeah.
Just because we weren't sure of sight lines with the set and everything. Yeah. And the Pross Arch had been bought in slightly. Sorry, this is all theatre speak. But you're probably all theatre people, Sarah, right? So, we might do things a little bit differently for Wicked. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, and I think near the end of the season of Matilda, because the right, like, because there's two balconies, the one at the top got the opened up.
Yeah.
Or and there was something like that.
Yeah. So initially what would happen is we sold the stalls and then the circle level, which is the level that you walk in on from the street.
Mm.
And then when sales got to a certain point, then we'd open up the balcony. And it was amazing. It felt like the olden days at Founders where there'd be like over 1,000 people in the house. And you could just feel the energy. It was so cool.
Yeah. And I guess I'm going to talk about your campaign, and I want to acknowledge that, I mean, we know you've got range, but it's like with Matilda, it's kind of a multi-pronged attack because it's a story that people are familiar with, but people might not be familiar with the musical. And so you've got to try and kind of convey that. And it's kind of a gift and a curse because you can, on one hand, you can go, hey, you like Matilda, come see the show. But on the other hand, it's like, you like Matilda, this is slightly different to the story that you've read.
Yeah, I think that was probably more of a struggle for the society when they did Hunchback, because the musical is a lot darker than like the cartoon movie version of it. Whereas Matilda standalone, it's such a strong brand.
Yeah.
And that was, easily recognisable.
Yeah, and I guess, was it kind of, I mean, you did Cats last year and we had a good old yarn about that last time we had you on the show. Or actually, I think I had you on before Cats as well.
Yeah, and then maybe after. And
yeah, just all over the show.
It's a blur.
It is a blur. But like marketing a show that's for a family audience, again, I'll use the Hunchback comparison. Because that one was definitely a lot darker in a positive way. I'm a massive fan of Hunchback.
Oh,
and I was so stoked when Hamop did it because I never thought I'd get to see that or work on that in my hometown. So I was like, win, win, win. But Matilda, obviously, great family show.
Yeah.
And then you're marketing to families, to younger audiences, and you're also working with a younger cast. Like, you know, there was several kids in that cast, and so that kind of presents its own challenges from a marketing side as well.
It did, because we wanted to protect them and make sure that they're all okay.
Mm.
But on the other side of the coin, the great thing about having kids in the cast is that you can then reach out to their schools and their sports clubs and their dance schools and things, and that also brings in a new audience because somebody will be like, oh, I play soccer with so-and-so and I've come to see her on stage. And so immediately you've opened the channel to someone else enjoying the theatre.
I also think it's great for the society because it's kind of like the next generation.
Yes.
Or giving people the opportunity to do their first musical.
That's right. And then the cool thing was having people like Nick and Lisa come back, and a lot of the younger people were able to learn from them and just see what it takes to really get into your character and things. And so there was a lot of learning from every department, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, shout out to the young ones. And actually, we had quite a few young ones on the crew as well, like high school age students.
And wasn't it mainly a female crew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a mix, but yeah, I had a very humbling moment where one of my crewmates who's closer to my age was like, oh, how old are you actually are you? And I'm like, oh, I just turned 30. And then one of the like 17-year-olds on the crew was like, yeah, I had a feeling you and Missy were probably 30 because you're the only ones here wearing skinny jeans. And it was humbling. And I'm pretty sure I've already told this story on That's the Ticket. I will never stop telling this story. And I was like, you know what? skinny jeans are appropriate backstage because they're not going to get caught on anything.
Exactly.
Safety first, guys.
It's a health and safety thing. Yeah,
and I need that belt loop so I can clip my torch on there and it's a whole thing.
That's right. No, long live the skinny jean.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good. I feel like I'm at that point in my kind of recreational theatre career where I, and it's been this way for several years now, where I'm not, air quotes, the young ones.
Yeah.
Because there's a window of time where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm the young one. I'm like the one getting started. And now I'm like, nah, there's, you know.
Yeah, you're in that kind of like, not middle age, but that middle ground sort of theatre experience now, aren't you?
It's good, though. It's great. And, you know, I've made lifelong friendships. I mean, look at you and me, man.
Oh, yeah, mate.
If it wasn't for theatre, we wouldn't be here.
No.
But I might break for a song
because
it's getting to that time. And I want to start with the one that you've brought to the show.
Oh, another 80s banger. And I looked at what I'd brought in previously. And because what I'm writing at the moment is a YA novel, very Gen X, set in the 80s, and it's like, it's got to be this song. So it's my all-time favourite song by this artist.
So it's Crazy For You by Madonna. Enjoy, everyone.
I'm crazy.
always got a bit of time for Madonna on That's the Ticket.
Yeah. Maybe I should have changed my mind to a Dolly song.
Oh, I do have one on the playlist as like my backup song.
Oh, okay.
Because I always have a backup song in case we don't have the chat. But when I've got you on, we've always got the chat.
Otherwise, we could have had like Sweet Transvestite or something.
Oh, yes.
Massive loss.
Yeah, Tim Curry, not a friend of the show. He comes up quite a bit, and Richard O'Brien.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've actually found out recently a friend of mine has never seen Rocky Horror.
The musical or the movie?
Either. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's completely unacceptable. You're going to have to change that.
Yeah, I mean, I recently got them to watch Rent because they'd never seen that either.
Oh, okay.
The film, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think they had seen it in Tauranga or something, but they were just like, oh, I don't know if I fully was giving it all that. I think they were in Tauranga, I think it was during the Zony Awards or whatever, and so they're like, oh, I'll go see this,
something.
But they were probably like dusty or tired and wasn't giving it their full attention. But, yeah, I watched that recently and still stands up. I think that the film adaptation of Rent, like, I just remember watching it all the time as a child, which, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think I've seen the film.
You haven't? It's got, like, all the OG Broadways, although I think they've got a different Mimi.
Okay.
Yeah. But, no, give it a hoon. It's on... I'll tell you where it is after in the song. I'm just like, oh, I don't know if I should be endorsing streaming services.
No, absolutely not. Listen to Free FM.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Must be time for a bit of HVAC.
Oh, it's like you read my mind. So HVAC, Hannah and Von answer questions. This is where we get off track almost instantly, but we'll give it a go. And some random questions. So as we know, you're a reviewer. My first question is, how important is it for a reviewer to separate their personal taste from the quality of the work? And we know that you love theatre, you love musical theatre.
Yes.
And so this is probably something you deal with, is a strong word, but yeah, something you have to do like on the daily, right?
Yeah.
So what's the strategy?
I think it's very important, and I always just try and go in with an open mind. Generally, I see something right at the very beginning of the season because they want to get reviews to generate ticket sales and things. And if I'm not reviewing it, I just like to go at the beginning of the season anyway, just to wave the flag and support everyone that I know that's involved. If I don't see something at the beginning of the season, I tend not to... I take everything with a grain of salt that anyone has said. If I say, oh, no, it was terrible, or, oh, it was really good, I don't even think about that when I go in and see something. Because unless they're an outstanding practitioner in their field, like, really, what do they know kind of thing?
Yeah,
and
fair.
Every performance, even if the production is the same, every night it's going to be something different.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's quite validating because, for me, I often ask – like when I have actors in the studio who are in something where a film version exists, I always ask the question, like, do you watch the film before you go see the show? And like, very rarely do I read reviews for shows that I've bought tickets for until I've gone and seen it, because I don't want it to cloud my judgment. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas there's people who will only go on the strength of a review. And I think people might miss out on some amazing theatre if they did that. With the Aboriginal Ladies Potato Race, it's on a streaming platform at the moment. And so I watched it a couple of weeks ago. I was like, oh, this is cool. I don't really know much about it. And it was like, the story is so good, but the film version, the acting just completely let it down, and I was gutted. It's one of those films you're watching it and you're totally just recasting it in your mind the whole time. So, yeah. And so then when I went to see it at the theatre last week, I was just like, right, let's just see what this is about. And it was completely different, and I loved it. It's so funny.
Just like, I saw you the night after you'd gone and seen it, and you said, you're like, I loved it. It was just what I needed at that time.
Totally. Like, yeah. it's laugh out loud funny. Like, I actually screamed at one stage. I was laughing so much. I couldn't, like, stop myself. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, if you haven't invited Yvonne to review your comedy, now's the time, guys.
But it better be funny.
Yeah. Okay. And then other kind of reviewing question, is there anything that instantly makes you think, yep, this is going to be a good review?
No.
Okay.
I've learnt the hard way because, you know, I've gone in knowing that it's a strong cast or it's a well-known show or they've had a slick marketing campaign or it's the talk of the town, but that doesn't necessarily equate to a glowing review as such. Maybe the cast is off that night. Maybe it actually just isn't my cup of tea. Or maybe technically it's just dreadful. And, you know, that can be for a lot of reasons, but quite often it's budget. And I think it's better to almost have, for instance, if we're talking about budget, it's better to have no set than a real clap-together kind of set. Like, and if you can't afford to, like, bring in costumes or hire costumes, like, maybe make it a little bit more retro. There's ways of getting around not having money to put on a show.
But at all costs, you must have a printed program.
At all costs. Don't you be coming at me with your QR codes.
Oh, I'm not mad at a QR code.
Nah. But how am I going to? Nah, it's a pain.
You're a reviewer, so you always get one for free.
Yeah.
So, like, check your privilege, sis. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm all good with a QR code. If it's got to be so easy, though.
Yeah, easy peasy. I don't even mind a piece of A4 folded in half.
Yeah.
With a cover, the cast on the inside, some thank yous and a director's note, and the crew listed on the back. Like, that's all it needs to be.
I feel like somewhere someone did a QR code and, like, there was a QR code and there was a way you could find it if you accidentally closed it. Like, I think it was on the event website or something, which I really liked. Because that's the only thing is you're like, you scan the QR code and this is me pretending I'm a reviewer. And then I go home and I'm like, oh, my God, I've closed the tab. Yeah. I can't remember so-and-so's name or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, although, actually, as a reviewer, do people send you, like, briefs or, like, information?
Sometimes they do.
I know I have when I've gone near to review stuff.
The really good ones do.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll send me the media release and a couple of photos, or sometimes they'll just say, hey, you up for it next Thursday night, 7 o'clock kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a mix, but I just make do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, when we were talking about earlier and I was talking about, like, watching the film before you go and see it, I think the last time I did that was a few years ago. Hamilton Playbox did Calendar Girls. I can't remember if you reviewed that.
No, I didn't.
But I think I watched the movie before I went and saw the play because I wasn't familiar with it and everyone's like, oh, and I'm like, okay, maybe we should watch the movie just so I'm not too surprised. And the surprise is they take very tasteful, like, nude photos to make a calendar to raise money for the Cancer Society.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was great. The movie's great. The play was great. We went with Mum and that was crack up.
She would have loved it.
Yeah, no, it was good. But I've got some more questions, but I'm thinking I might break for Rick's pick because I need
to get that in.
Kia ora, Uncle Rick. So if you're unfamiliar with Rick's pick, the way this works is that I have an Uncle Rick. He's a great listener of music, great listener of radio. And when I started, that's the ticker, 272 episodes ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And actually, before I finish this spiel, I want to kind of dob myself in, because before Yvonne came on the show, she's like, what episode number am I going to be? And I said 171, and she's like, no, because I was 100 and...
something or other.
150-something. And I'm like, oh, no, I meant 272. But, yeah, when I started That's the Ticket 272 episodes ago, Uncle Rick was like, hey, Hannah, here's a list of songs that I like, and each week you can pick a song off the list and play Rick's pick. And every week I have, and not one person asked, but now I try and do this thing where I pick songs from the list that are on theme with the person I'm talking to or what we're talking about. And sometimes I get a bit English essay within. It's a bit more symbolic. And so I've gone for a Leo Sayer track, and it's called When I Need You. Because I feel like you're always ready for an interview when I need you. It's the running joke. Whenever I ask Yvonne if she wants to come on, she's like, oh, do you not have any guests? But no, you were there for me for my first episode. You were there to be my first guest.
How did I even get roped into that?
I can't actually, I want to say it was my idea to ask you to be my first guest.
Like it was pre-COVID, eh?
Yeah. And oh gosh, I was so fresh, eh? And so nervous. And then now we're 6 years in and I'm still going. But Uncle Rick, similar to Yvonne, you were kind of always there when I need you with your picks. So this one's for you, mate.
I hold out my hands and I touch.
That was this week's Rick's Pick, Leo Sayer, When I Need You. And I'm back with the person who's always there when I need them, Yvonne from Right On for the Arts.
When you need a show guest.
Oh, nah, you're just always good value and we always have stuff to talk about.
Mm, thanks, bro.
And I don't know. It's been, we've been doing this for 6 years. Might as well keep going.
Yeah, might as well.
Oh, no, I can't believe it, eh? But instead of reminiscing on the past, I'm going to hit you with more questions because
okay,
that's kind of what we're here
go.
To do. What's the hardest thing about reviewing a local production?
Okay, what do you reckon I'm going to say? Straight back at you.
Not getting a physical program.
Okay, yeah, that's the hardest thing. What's the second hardest thing?
Knowing everyone involved.
No.
Okay.
Have you got any other guesses?
Nah, other than time, not having time to do it?
No, well, semi, the hardest thing is scheduling.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like we were saying a little bit earlier, everything seems to come in waves and for whatever reason, shows seem to open on the same weeks at the same time.
Mm.
And so there was a bit of a battle between Appleton and Passion Fruits, for instance, to find a night that kind of worked. And
yeah.
Yeah, that would be the most difficult thing. Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, I guess if you think of, because I mean, off the top of your head, but how long has Right On for the Arts been going?
Probably seven or eight years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really track stuff like that.
Nah, because I'm thinking about like, in comparison to when you started, right, you probably got more, similarly to how I get more guest requests, right, you're getting more review requests.
That's right. And I've been asked to review things out of town and for a national publication, things like that. So it has definitely grown, yeah.
How far out of town have you gone to review?
I've only gone as far as Auckland.
Okay.
Yeah. But then, yeah.
You'll do unofficial reviews if you're somewhere else.
Yeah,
Oh, was it last year when you like spontaneously went over to Oz to watch Cats or something?
Yeah, I had 3 shows in 24 hours.
That's right. What was it? It was Cats.
Annie. Oh. And the play that goes wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was so funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll sort of give everyone feedback and go, oh my God, you've got to get on plane and get yourself to Sydney.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Annie?
Yes.
Because, I mean, you've got that coming up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then again with Tim Curry's passing, a lot of...
Oh, he was such a good rooster.
Yeah, him and Annie. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot that he was in this.
That 1982 version of the movie is probably in my top 5 all-time favourite movies.
Oh, okay. You know I want to ask you to elaborate on that.
Just because of the cast. It was incredible.
Like, okay.
Yeah. All the goats.
Was it Carol Burnett?
Yes.
Yeah, she
was outstanding as Miss Hannigan.
Oh, see, I have a joke again with Missy. We have this thing about, like, what roles could you act your way into in a musical? Because, like, we're not singers. I reckon Missy could, though, but, like, she's like Miss Hannigan.
Yeah.
She reckons she could do Starlight Express because she can roller skate. And she's quite an accomplished, like, skater.
Oh.
Wicked exclusively as a flying monkey because she's like, I can just climb all over the set. And then Les Mis, she reckons she could act her way in the chorus of Les Mis, like lovely ladies style. But because, wait, have you, I'm sure I've asked you this before, but have you ever been in a musical?
Well, I did Joseph at school and
yeah.
I actually auditioned for Ham Ops Annie in the olden days.
The olden days?
Like 1900 and something or rather.
Okay.
And I just had a shocking audition. And
were you an adult or a kid?
No, I was a kid. And
yeah.
I auditioned for Sound of Mucus as well in the olden days.
Sound
and,
of Mucus? Are you throwing shade at Sound of Music, Yvonne?
No, oh no, no. I just had some shocking audition experiences and it kind of put me off. And it's part of my childhood trauma.
I mean, fair. I mean, this is the thing. Like, I briefly came out of acting retirement last year to be in Digital Afterlives.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was great, but, and, like, there's no such thing as a small part, only small actors. But, like, yeah. I didn't have that much stage time, that many lines. But the level of nervousness, you would have thought that I was, like, playing Jean Valjean in Les Mis. And I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I got so nervous. I mean, it was worth it. And I loved the experience. And it was, like, my first time in a long time playing a non, like playing a human, because, you know, I was almost exclusively animals before that.
Yeah, donkey and
Camel, beaver. Yeah. Shout out stories and more. But anyway, I've gone off track. But another HVAC question.
Okay.
What's more important when marketing a show? A great photo, clever taglines, or a good description?
I would say actually a consistent approach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Please elaborate.
And so everything kind of needs to look the same and feel the same. And you need to pare back all the information. We don't need to be bombarded with casts and all that. We just want to know what it is, where it's going to be on it, and when. And maybe a ticketing link. But if people know it's going to be at BNZ or Clarence Street or the Meaty, or they know they can go to the website and get the thing. But, yeah, basically what it is, and the dates are the biggie. And then I'd say another thing to do with marketing is just show a bit of restraint. Like, don't play all your cards at once.
Yeah.
Figure out what you think will be a good campaign, and it needs to be a live campaign in that you change things as things, you know, turn up, and a cast member might have this amazing story that all of a sudden recall, and you're like, oh, I've got to work that in somehow into an angle in a media release or something. Mm. But yeah, have your plan, and it might just simply start out with the show announcement and then auditions and then eventually the cast list, and people do those in really cool ways these days with videos and things.
I have a bit of a pet hate on the videos, because if it's too fast,
oh yeah,
I'm like, I only want to watch this once, but then also if it's too slow, I'm like, no.
Yeah, speed it up.
But
yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, that's all right. And then obviously, yeah, with the campaign, then you sort of roll out into rehearsals and meeting everyone, but you have to find a place where you're not actually spamming your content, and we do see a lot of that whereby people sort of give us everything at once. And a perfect example of not just real restraint and a great result was Liam's passion fruits. And that might be also because he won the Adam Prize for the Play of the Year.
Yes.
So that was a really good draw card. But he didn't, like, give us heaps and heaps. It was just sort of a few images, some beautiful...
great photos.
Yeah, portrait shots. I'll have to find out who did those. They were lovely.
Yeah.
And that was enough. And he sold out that whole entire season.
Mm. And I think, like, going off what you've been saying, and because, you know, we're both marketers. We work in marketing. Like, it's just kind of our brand. But, like, the phases, and I think that helps with the spreading out the content and not coming across as, like, air quotes, spammy. Because you've got your announcement phase, your awareness phase, your conversion phase, and then retargeting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, and amongst all of that, like, you know, you'd sort of aim for a media release and maybe aim for a radio interview and maybe put up posters, but... don't play all your cards at once. Like, you need to leave something up your sleeve. And ultimately, if the brand is strong, people will think, oh, yeah, where did I see that? And then they'll see it somewhere else, like the back of a bus, and be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Such and such is on. So there's heaps of different channels and avenues you can use. But I would say, yeah, be consistent, but show restraint.
I mean, very well reasoned, very well reasoned.
Thank you.
And now I'm just going to get into another popular segment here on the show, which is upcoming events. Is there anything you want to plug before I get into Plugville?
No. Well, everything I said at the top of the show, really.
Yeah.
Like, I've got 50 million things coming up in the region, so go and see all of them and support everyone.
Yes. And if you don't follow Right On For The Arts on Insta or Facebook, consider this the reminder, because you do like monthly updates, which is very helpful of everything that's on.
Yeah. Do you copy them? Do you copy and paste?
I mean, it helps with me writing these lists, I'll tell you that, mate.
Yeah, so towards the end of each month, I must actually do September's. oh my goodness, it's September. What am I talking about?
August.
And just do a wrap up of what's coming up in that particular month and auditions and things like that. So, a bit of information shared there.
But, I mean, none of this will probably be news to you, so you can just have a chill while I rattle off some cool stuff coming up. So, in no particular order, the Appleton Ladies Potato Race is running at Gaslight Theatre in Cambridge right now until the 5th of September. More info on tickets at gaslight.co.nz. Oh, sorry, gaslight.nz. Over at Clarence Street Theatre, Mel Parsons is bringing her Castle Hill album tour. That's on the 3rd of September with a 7:30 p.m. show. More info on tickets at Ticketek. And then over at the Meteor, Thrifty Threads is back from the 10th to the 12th of September. Find out more at themeteor.co.nz. And then Rivoli Theatre has Hamilton Playbox's Weird Sisters, which is based on the novel by Terry Pratchett. It's running from the 3rd to the 17th of October. Yvonne's reviewing it. More info and tickets can be found at iTicket. Whew, I always like to end that by saying that I am not the definitive guide to all the cool kind of things happening in Kirikiriroa and beyond, because otherwise I wouldn't need a guest. And actually my guest today rattled off a whole bunch of shows coming up, so you know. But actually, last kind of surprise question. It's okay. Have you started booking stuff in for 2027 yet?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What have you got booked in for 2027?
Well, the first thing is really exciting. I've actually booked my ticket to see Moulin Rouge in Sydney.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I've had a couple of theatres reach out to me, giving me dates, saying this is when we're opening. Please pop it in your diary. So I've started populating my diary.
Oh, my gosh. Because usually we have this chat. And I think because last time I had you on was the end of 2025 and we were talking about Hamilton Arts Festival, because you always kind of block out heaps of time for that one as well.
Yeah. That'll be coming around before we know it.
I know. But Moulin Rouge, are you a fan?
Yes. Yeah. It's another one of my all-time favourite movies.
Oh, my God.
I've only got 5 all-time favourite movies, and we've pretty much talked about all of them.
What are the other all-time favourite movies?
Top Gun.
I was going to guess Top Gun.
Were you?
Have you seen the sequel?
Yes, I loved it. It was so good. And if you know the first one as well as you know the story, like there was so many like little nods.
I only watched the second one. I haven't seen the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you kind of only got half a movie then, because it's a lot of like little sneaky.
Yeah, I only watched it because everyone was talking about it. I'm like, I'll just watch it.
Oh, yeah.
But the
first one, like, you've just got to crank it up.
Okay. I knew you were going to say Top Gun. Okay. So we've had 3. I'm trying to see if I can guess what the other 2 are. The other 80s bangers?
Yeah.
Was it like Footloose or something?
No.
What are they?
No, now I've gone blank.
Okay, that's okay.
What are we doing talking about movies?
Hey, it's an arts podcast. Movies are a form of art. But hey, if you know the rate that we're going, all your favourite movies are going to be adapted into musicals before you know it.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And actually, last question, because I think last time you were on the show, I asked you about
The Greatest Showman is one of my all-time favourite movies.
Oh, okay. Have you? Oh, is it on your bucket list to see the musical adaptation of that?
Yes, absolutely. I would. Oh, imagine that. Imagine that here. Imagine that. Oh my goodness. At the Civic with all the elephants.
Yeah, man.
Because there's 424 elephants at the Civic carved into the woodwork.
Okay, that's a real fun fact. Someone's been on the tour, haven't they?
Yes, I have.
But no, my last question, because I think last time you're on That's the Ticket, I asked you about your favourite, like, reviewing snack. And then I was like, are you still on the Coke Zero Shug? But last time, yeah, you're not honing as many Coke Zeros.
No.
Are you just on the waters?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
and maybe a Whittaker's Peanut Slab sponsor me.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thanks, Free FM. I mean, actually, do you know, heartbreaking moment, this is completely not arts or radio related, but you can't get, you know how you used to be able to get the full peanut blocks of Whittaker's chocolate?
Yeah.
Can't get them anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an outrage.
I mean, I love a fruit and nut because, like, I'm an old lady at heart, so, like, you know, it gets me what I need. But, you know, how I said that I had Dolly as a backup song?
Yeah.
I reckon I can squeeze them both in if we're good.
Yes, yes.
So I was going to finish with Revolting Children from Matilda, because we both worked on that. And then I've got a Dolly song, Here You Come Again, because you've come back on the show.
Such a good song. It's probably one of my faves.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Jolene fan.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But thanks for stopping by, mate. It's always a pleasure. Time goes real fast when you're here, though.
Yeah, it does.
But, yeah, if you like Yvonne, you can read more about her on the Write On for the Arts website as well. That's where you post all your reviews. And if you like me, you know I'll be back next week with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket. But until then, enjoy these bangers. Mā te wā, Tim.
Let's go.
Podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.